You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is February 2nd, and it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us in studio this morning, the Reverend Dr. Victor Belton from Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. Also visiting professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and on the LCMS Board of Directors. Dr. Belton, welcome to His Time.
Good morning, Andy. God bless.
Thank you. Glad to have you in studio this morning. Looking forward to studying God's Word. Glad to have you in St. Louis, visiting a professor this quarter at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And what are you teaching this quarter?
Teaching two homiletics courses. We're teaching the second half of a Hom 2 course, a homiletics 2 course that David Peter taught the first half of. And then I'm teaching a Hom 4 level course that has Jesus as master preacher. So if Jesus is master prophet, priest, king, and all things, then we take a look at the Beatitudes and we ask ourselves, or Sermon on the Mount, and having students ask, how does what Jesus did and the way that Jesus proclaimed the word then impact the way that we proclaim the word? And it's been a rich experience so far.
And nice to be at the seminary, spending some time with the students, I gather, as well.
It's great to be at the seminary. it's a very, very healing time, very, very interesting time. It's quite a different place from the place that I attended in 1982 to 86, which was so close to the split that things were a bit more rigid.
Well, glad to hear that it is a healing time. Tell me about your congregation, Peace Lutheran Church, Decatur, Georgia.
It's a wonderful little place, nestled right outside Atlanta. I'm here for a few weeks teaching, and so left instructions to the saints that nothing should fall apart while I'm away. And I understand that attendance is good. Offerings are good. We're making all of our benchmarks and Bible studies and that kind of thing. So it's a great little house. We pride ourselves, our mission statement, encouraging people in love for Jesus, and our vision then pursuing reality, that is relationship with God and one another, exercise of spiritual gifts, acting in the authority of the Word of God, living the freedom of the gospel, imaging the unity of the body of Christ, tasting kingdom fruit, yielding to the spirit of servanthood. And so we're very, very intentional about what we do and what we go after, and the way that we then share our resources with others in the congregation, others in the community. So we have a very, very large footprint there in Decatur, Georgia. God is blessing.
Well, thanks be to God for those good gifts and proclaiming the good news of Jesus in Decatur, Georgia, and that your congregation was so gracious to allow you to come here to St. Louis for 4 weeks and teach our seminary students. We are studying in Titus today, chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 6. What would you like us to know as we prepare to study this text?
We'll just quote Luther a bit and talk about the fact that he was willing to criticize some biblical books like James, this epistle of straw in the early Luther, but wrote a commendation for this letter to Titus. Really, this is a short epistle, Luther said, but a model of Christian doctrine in which is comprehended in a masterful way all that is necessary for a Christian to know and to live. This is Martin Luther commending this book of Titus to the church, and so he would commend it to us today.
So let's take a look. Titus chapter 1 is what we're studying today with the Reverend Dr. Victor Belton from Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Here we go. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word, through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior, to Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. So here we have his greeting. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. Anything unique about this greeting? Anything to highlight about the greeting here?
It's really a pretty standard greeting for the time. I am taken with Paul's description of himself. This is an older Paul who has now come into fully into his apostolic prophetic servant ministry before the Lord. And so Paul, who was persona non grata there for in the beginning, because it seemed that everywhere Paul showed up, so did persecution. Paul was a lightning rod. And so if you remember back in Acts, who is this guy and what's he doing? And so they sent him back to his mama, actually. But now he's fully blown, mature in faith. Paul, servant of God, doulos and apostolos.
For the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth.
Yes, that is all of our work, isn't it? And can't you just see why Luther loved this short epistle? A prison epistle of Paul. It's a pastoral epistle of Paul. It's considered Paul showing and demonstrating to other pastors and other workers how to be a worker before the Lord and what the qualifications should be. It is according to the faith. And faith is not a dead thing. It's not the dead faith of the living. It's the living faith in which we all operate from a living word given by a living God, given to a living people who are to go to those who are dead and dying and say, there is this possibility, this hope of life in the earth yet, because God, our Savior, has left a remnant in the earth, a remnant of servants and a remnant of sent ones who are operating according to this faith that we've received from Jesus Christ. It's a great, great, great greeting.
Their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior.
Now, man, don't you just love God who never, not almost, God who never lies. Man, I mean, Luther loved that phrasing, and I love that phrase, God who never lies. God's dependable. God is faithful. In the midst of our faithlessness, in the midst of our doubt, in the midst of our wondering, why, Lord, why the suffering, why the death, why the hurricane, why the drought, why the flood, why the mudslide, why the fire, why the God who never lies and is always faithful. And what God has said is that you're my people and you will live with me eternally in glory. God never lies.
And he promised that before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted.
Now, here's what we don't want to do with that. We don't want to go to a place of determinism. And so you're going to hell no matter what you do. I'm going to heaven no matter what I do, so I can slay 1,000 and you could save 1,000,000, but God's already predetermined. And so that's not a word about double predestination somehow, but that but before the cross, all men have this opportunity, all people have this opportunity to come into relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the day. And it's before time. So this is not a new plan of God. This is not a recent innovation from God. This is the thing God had in mind when he stood out on the precipice of absolutely nothing and flung the stars into space. This is God at his best. God who never fails.
And at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. Is his preaching of his own volition, of his own accord, his own ability? No. He says that the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior.
Yes. So let's do this thing. There are two times in this text, in this opening. So it's Chronos, before the world, before time began, before sun and moon, and it's morning and it's evening and it's afternoon. And then that's Chronos, that's the thing you can tell on your watch. Mm-hmm. And then in due time, that's Kairos, that's appointment time. And so way back when God started the clock, he'd already established the point at which he would bring this Paul, this Titus, you and me into his service, this God who never fails. It's just amazing.
To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior.
Isn't that a great word? I would grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Listen, we have this tradition, and it's in our rite of ordination and installation that. Workers come, we lay hands on them, we impart to them this grace for the work that God's ordained them to and assigned them to, and then we release them. And you know, you could spend 30 years in a place and never hear this word again from your people. Grace and peace to you. I'd like for our listeners today to call up their pastor. Call up your deaconess, call up your DCE, call up your Sunday school teacher and just greet them in this way. Grace and peace to you. I pray for you. Mm-hmm. I love you in the Lord. I appreciate your work and your labor. I may not always agree with you, but I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. I think we don't do that nearly enough.
Sure.
In our church. And Paul would do that to Timothy here. Paul would do that to Timothy again. Paul would do that to Titus again. Paul would do that over and over and over. Because you can't get enough. You can't hear often enough. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. I bet teachers who teach on a daily basis, too, our Lutheran teachers need to hear that, too.
Absolutely.
Every morning, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we know that intuitively because that's the way that pastors will begin their sermon. Mm-hmm. Grace to you and peace. We know that intuitively. Mm-hmm. But let's drill down a little and let's really get the full impact of that and the opportunity that we have to be a blessing to one another as we work in the kingdom of God, as we co-labor together in his vineyard.
Anything else in this greeting before we go on to verse 5?
There's nothing else in that greeting. The kerygma, the proclamation.
All right, let's go on to verse 5.
The proclamation, man.
This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers, and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. So this is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you.
Yeah, I tell you what, be a rock. Be a rock. Be a stone. Those are pretty tall orders. Mm-hmm. And so Paul is kind of releasing into Titus a measure of that apostolic ministry, a measure of that doulos and apostolos, that servanthood and that, mm-hmm. that apostolic call that he has. And so set these people in place and don't do it based on their popularity. Don't do it mm-hmm. based on how much folks like them and how much regard their family has in the community and how much money they give in the offering plate. None of those things in this economy of God, in this kingdom enterprise, mm-hmm. is going to matter. These are to be the ones whom God has blessed to be above reproach in the community.
Mm. Go ahead. So here are the ones to appoint as elders in every town. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, his children are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. And we'll go on to overseer here in just a little bit, but
listen, those qualifications right there would let most of us out of the deal. So that would be no one is able to say a contrary word.
Hmm.
This is clearly God's person in the earth, God's man in the earth. Above reproach. He's not the guy that you're going to catch one day down in the bodega and catch another day. He's husband of one wife, and he is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And he's transmitted that faith as Paul to Titus, then Titus to the elders, then the elders to their family and children.
And his children are believers.
Yeah. They get it from their daddy.
Mm-hmm. And not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination.
Yeah, now see the insubordination mm-hmm. piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is almost that children, we raise them almost to be insubordinate these days. And to be able to question all things. There was a time when dinosaurs roamed the earth. And I was a young man when you did not even sit in the middle of adults having a conversation. it was not a thing that was done.
We're studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Dr. Victor Belton from Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call or an email, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth or sync up to listen in your car while driving anywhere. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org. On the air, online, and on demand, the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Who are KFUO Day sponsors? They're people like you. They're listeners who appreciate and support the Lord's work in broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ every day. For more information on becoming a KFUO Day sponsor, contact Mary Schmidt at 314-996-1518 or Joni Harwell at 314-996-1512 or email us to find out more at gifts@kfuo.org. You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Dr. Victor Belton from Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. Also visiting professor at Concordia Seminary this quarter and on the LCMS Board of Directors. Pastor, are we ready to go on to verse 7 and talk about overseers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
For an overseer, we're in Titus chapter 1, by the way, for our listeners, verse 7, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it.
You notice what's not here? What's not here is 4 years of seminary. Isn't that interesting? What's not there is this formal education process that we do in our day and our time. In that day, it's your work kind of spoke for you. So folks looked at what you did. Arrogant, that knocked you out of the box. Quick-tempered, not able to communicate with people well, that knocked you out of the box. Mm-hmm. Greedy, knocked you out of the box. Man, prosperity preacher, no sir, knocked you out of the box. Hospitable, lover of good, self-controlled. There's our Father wants to use his people for the proclamation of his gospel and the spread of his word and his kingdom. These overseers ought to present themselves acceptable to teach, to train, to administer the sacraments, to administer absolution. Your sins are forgiven. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. All directed toward the manifestation of the will of God in the service of those to whom he's called. He's appointed. He's established. Man.
He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So he must be instructed in the word and hold firm to that.
Yeah, but there's not this thing we've done. Mm-hmm. It's almost OJT, isn't it? And so we look at your character, and we listen to your word of faith, your testimony, and then based on that, we then begin to drill deeper into the truths of the faith. But if you don't have the character to begin with, there is no need. We're not going to even accept you to start drilling down into the deeper truths of God, because there's some stuff that Christians do intuitively, isn't it? I mean, and so I believe in Jesus, and so I will be hospitable, and so that's my fruit. I believe in Jesus, so I will be welcoming. I believe in Jesus, so you won't catch me carousing and in drunkenness and in the midst of the orgies and all the other things that are going on. I believe in Jesus, and so I am proclaiming him to people. Titus looks for that guy and says of that guy, let me teach you some deeper truths about who our Jesus is and what he teaches.
Verse 10, for there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work.
It's just a little lie. It's just a little teeny thing. Insubordination, empty talkers, deceivers. They're looking at character. They're looking for what God has already done by faith in the lives of those who will be in service to his kingdom in the earth. So your the behavior already. One of the things that we do that may not be altogether helpful all the time is we have this. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, but we sometimes forget Ephesians 2:10. For good works prepared beforehand that we may walk in them. Mm-hmm. And we almost have this work phobia. and so if we err on the side of grace and forgiveness. And perhaps we can look as much at work as well. I have this story. I'll try to do this in 3.5 minutes. Sudanese evangelist knocks on my door in Decatur, Georgia, 1999. And he wants a place to worship. So we give him a place to worship. Sudanese don't speak the language, and so we set them up for their own worship space and their own worship time, that kind of thing. His name was Bafel Paul Deng, a man that fits this criteria. He is not arrogant. He's above reproach. He's well respected in the community. He's not a drunkard. He's not violent. He's not greedy for gain. He's hospitable. He wants to serve the church. And so he eventually goes through the EIIT program. Some of you may know that in 2009, 2010 or so, the Sudanese had a vote as to whether they were going to separate from and divide into two nations, North and South. And this man, above reproach, EIIT student, trained by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is on the ground. And he goes to the vice president of the nation and says, I believe God's saying we need to pray before we take the vote. So he calls the nation to prayer. This is a Missouri Synod EIIT guy on the ground, EIIT trained at the birth of a new nation, calling that nation to prayer. And the text that he uses is the text where Abraham and Lot are in the country and they're having trouble because their herdsmen are fighting over the land. And what he says is Abraham's word, we can separate but still be brothers and be at peace. That's the power. That's the authority. That's the apostolic grace of God on this Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that at the birth of a new nation, we've trained a guy to parse the word in that place. That's just incredible grace from God.
Thanks be to God that his word is being proclaimed in that part of the world. They must be silenced. When he's talking about many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party, says they must be silenced since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach.
Aren't there always these folks that their character doesn't match up, and so they can't formally be in positions of authority, and yet they can be people of great influence. And Jesus himself kind of says to people in the Sermon on the Mount, hypocrites, hypocrites. I mean, you wear one face in front of these folks, and you wear another face for the rest of your day. I think we need to sometimes call it as it is, hypocrites. All of Jesus I surrender, all of him I freely give. Liar, you're in this thing for what you can get for yourself. You're not in this thing to serve God. If there's not sufficient money in it, if there's not sufficient return in it for you, then you're not going to do it. That's not doulos and apostolos. And so I think that Paul rightly says to Titus, those folks need silencing because they drive people's conscience. You can't give enough money. You can't do enough work. You can't wear the right clothes. And Paul said, no, those folks need silencing in the midst of the community because they put burdens on people too hard for them to bear.
They are upsetting whole families by teaching shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own town, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth.
Yes, know yourself and be willing to confess who you are. Lord, help me. I'm just a lazy glutton. I'm given to lying. And aren't we all? I'm just given to lying. But some of us, saved by grace through faith, strive to be better. It sounds like our group in this Cretan group, they're not striving to be any better. This is just who we are. We're going to be gluttonous. We're going to be lazy. We're just going to continue because that's the way we are determined to live our lives. And so if that's how you want to live your lives, that's a fine thing. But you won't infect the church with that.
To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work.
See, we would never talk like that today.
Hmm.
We would extend grace. And we would extend grace. But perhaps it is that speaking this kind of law drives people to repentance. Perhaps when you say, you know what, you're in God's eyes, in my eyes, you're my brother, but in God's eyes, you're really detestable, disobedient, and God can't use that stuff you're producing. God can't use that. And so let's go back before the Father. Let's go back together before the Father, and let's ask how it is that we reform our behavior and reform our conduct so that it's in line with what he desires.
Anything else in chapter one before we go on to chapter two?
No, is reading the word. It's mm-hmm. It's always so full and always so alive. There's always more. There's always more.
Titus 2, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled.
So much for this thought about the misogynist Paul, huh? Who hates women, who never has a kind word for women, who never has any kind of instruction for them. He just wants them barefoot and pregnant all the time. Well, no. Paul has a word of instruction and encouragement for women, older women, as well as older men. And it is to teach and to conduct oneself in a way that's in accord with sound doctrine.
What I see here is that one generation is to shape the next generation. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. And we see, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. All these things that the older men are to demonstrate, sober-mindedness, dignified and self-controlled, sound in faith and love, these are things that we want the younger men to gain as well, to be self-controlled. And likewise, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled.
That is not happening in the larger society, but thanks be to God, it's still happening in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Church is still a place where we take the young boys fishing, and while we're on the lake and catching nothing, but we're feeding worms to the to the fish. There's opportunity for conversation. This one aunt who has responsibility for her young nieces and nephews comes to me one afternoon and says, "Pat, they're having a hard time in school, and so you know where I was the next day." Mm-hmm. I was at their school,
mm-hmm.
and stopped in their classrooms, introduced myself, pulled one of the children aside, had a little conversation, has made all the difference in terms of their progress in school. And so it really works, this counsel of Paul, that older mm-hmm. men are examples for younger men, older women are examples for younger women, and they do what they see. And I don't think parents get that very much anymore. I mean, if they see you lying, that's what they'll do. If they see you lazy, that's what they'll be. If they see you not studying, that's what they'll do. If you don't read your Bible and pray, if they don't see you reading your Bible and praying, they're not going to read their Bible and pray either.
Looking at the text as a whole today, Pastor, with just a minute left, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text as we look at it as a whole?
It's a current, the Word of God is current and living. And so let's receive some of the encouragement that Paul gives to Titus, his son, in our own lives today. Let's get back to a place where we're encouraging young men. Let's get back to a place where we're looking at people's character as much as we're looking at their credentials. Let's get back to a place where we are really honoring God by looking at people's work and their fruit, because that certainly, from Paul's vantage point, is how God is looking as well.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Dr. Victor Belton, pastor from Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia, visiting professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and LCMS Board of Directors. Dr. Belton, thanks so much for being our guest pastor today, helping us study this text in Titus chapters 1 and 2.
All my pleasure. Rich blessings.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. Coming up in just a little bit, sacred music to, well, our conversation with our friends at 1517 and morning prayer all on the way. Here on His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for over 90 years.